Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady is on assignment in Colorado today.
And I was just looking at the weather there. He has a cool, crisp morning in Denver. It's 26 degrees.
Oh, that's much better than my friend that lives in Cody, Wyoming, where it was 8 yesterday. So I guess we can count ourselves lucky here.
We're going to get a little chill.
It is cooling off.
But not down to 8.
No, I sincerely hope not.
Well, it's good. You know, we're supposed to get a little moisture in the air this weekend, right? On Sunday, maybe into Monday. A little rain.
Correct.
Which means a fire.
Wait a minute. When you said a little moisture in the air, you had to then tell me it might be a little rain. Did you think I didn't understand what
little moisture
is? That like coyote? Wait, I mean, you didn't think I'd pick that up?
Perhaps not, but what I was going to say is it might be a good weekend to get some fertilizer down, which we'll probably talk about, but also for fires. It'd be a good first fire in the fireplace, maybe.
Okay, but be careful because we're having a red flag warning 2 days after this, so be
very
careful.
We'll put the fire out prior to the red flag warning.
Okay, good idea. And I was thinking along those same lines, you're going to fertilizer. If you haven't put out or if you want to put out grass seed, native wildflower seeds, any of that, this would be the weekend to do it before a couple of days of rain.
Or a pre-emergent weed killer.
Or put down a pre-emergent
weed killer. Lots of stuff to talk about.
If you want to get ahead of it.
Yes.
But not with your grass seed or your wildflower seeds.
So no, that's here's not, a pro tip.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
what is the pro tip, George?
Well, if you're going to put a pre-emergent out, you don't want to put any kind of seed in concert with that.
Okay.
Right?
And if you want to put out seed,
then put the seed out, you know.
And you don't want to put out pre-emergent.
Yeah. So okay. either way.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Either way.
Either way.
I remember our representative from Southland Sod had gone out to a couple of job sites over the years where they had a problem where they did everything right and they laid the sod out, but it wasn't rooting. And the contractor had said, to make sure you don't get weeds in your lawn, put a pre-emergent weed killer down before you lay the sod down, which sounds good, looks good on paper, but the problem is the pre-emergent weed killer prevents the roots from going in. So the sod had been down for weeks and you could still lift it right up off the ground because the pre-emergent weed killer kept it from.
It seemed like it'd be a good idea to keep those weeds from germinating.
Like I said, it looks good on paper, but not a good idea. So if you're thinking about putting a lawn in, don't do that. Whether you're putting it in from seed or sod, don't do that.
I'm nodding in agreement for those of you who can't see that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Or he's having a stroke, one of the others. I'm not sure.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah.
Okay. In the top segment, we have to talk about sleep. It's been cool at night, and I've been able to sleep. Have you guys been able to sleep?
I haven't had a problem sleeping for a while.
Okay, so. George.
Nor have I.
Okay, good. Good.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I could talk about the window being open
and
the fan on.
Yeah, maybe turning the fan off.
Fans off. Okay. Fans off because that was too cold. But
I slept very well last night.
I know people are probably worried that I wasn't getting enough sleep because it was too warm, and now it's all better.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, thank you. Please continue.
Yeah. If you'd like to give us a call today, we would love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number here at KCBQ. Potato update. Our potato sets are going to be late.
A week.
Yeah,
because of?
Because it's cold.
Yeah, they don't.
In Montana.
Potatoes don't do well in cold. I guess they rot. And I think it's better for them not to be frozen, mushed, and rotten when we get them to sell.
That's probably not a bad
idea.
That's
what the grower thought, too. So they expect decent weather. I guess this cold is blowing through, and then next week they should ship. So maybe by the weekend, but if not, then the following week. And I know you heard this last week, but this time I mean it. Well, the other people did. The 17 people? How many people do we have listening?
Well, 18.
18. We had one more.
We had a lovely lady call in the other day, asked a question. She listens on K-Praise. And she was very happy that we were back on the air and had a follow-up question to some of the stuff we spoke of.
And we had a...
Was she the one that lives in Placerville?
No, this is just up in North County somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, the person who got the soil conditioner. They came in and bought quite a few bags of soil conditioner because they heard somebody talking about it. And then I showed her the pictures of what it had done to the lawn. You know, in June of 2016.
Is that when you asked me that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go to the phones. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go to Tierra Santa where Chris is waiting. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Fine. This morning, up and bright and ready to go. Got a question about sago palm. Got one. It's pretty tall. It's about maybe four and a half feet. But what's happening is it's like there's little sago stalks growing out at the base, and the fronds are getting quite large. And my wife's after me to trim those off. Are these little sagos that have started to grow from seeds that have fallen off, or are these stalks coming out of the base of the sago? How do you handle that?
Well, they're not seedlings, but they're pups or suckers that are coming up off of the plant. They will reproduce that way. They'll start growing another trunk, basically. If you leave it there long enough, it's going to form a second depending on how many you have, a second or a third trunk. You can trim the foliage off. It's going to continue to grow. What some people will do is they'll wait until they get to about the size between a baseball and a softball, and then you can take a shovel and wedge the shovel down between the plant and the main trunk and cut it away, and then you can reroot it and start another sago palm if you would like to do that. Or, like I said, if you just let it go, it's gonna form a multiple trunk plant.
I think we're missing a very important part of this story.
What's that?
His wife wants him gone.
Yep. Well, the leaves from the front from the small stalks already are starting to overwhelm they're almost getting us up to the level of the main plant beginning of the frond. And it may be stealing water because the smaller ones around the are very green. But the main one's starting to get a lot of yellow on its fronds, so I don't know if it's stealing nutrients or water.
It sounds like my guess is that if the main trunk is starting, the fronds are starting to yellow, they're probably just getting to be old, and they can be. You can go through and just cut them completely off. You can cut all the fronds off, give it a shot of fertilizer like Grow Power, and give it some good water, and within a few weeks, you should see some new foliage starting to come out.
Okay. Just one other quick question. The church is, by help with the church garden here, which is quite large, subject of nematodes, they're having troubles with nematodes. I know this has come up in the past on the program, but at the time I wouldn't have been interested because it wasn't my issue, but the church is having trouble with the nematodes. Do you have any advice about dealing with something like that?
The only thing, there's only a couple of things you can do as far as nematodes are concerned. You can let you if it's like a vegetable garden area, you can let it go fallow for a couple of years. That will reduce the number of nematodes that are in the soil because they don't have anything to feed on. Or you can treat the area with beneficial nematodes, so you can put more nematodes down to get rid of the nematodes that are there, and that can get them under control as well. So it, or you can plant nematode resistant crops in the area. There are a number of, like, for instance, if it's a vegetable garden, there's a number of tomatoes. I can't think of them off the top of my head. I'd have to look at a list that are nematode resistant, and those, planting those over time will eventually reduce the nematode population because they don't have anything to feed off of. So that's basically all you can do. Or you can solarize the soil too, which it's hard to do in the wintertime because the temperatures are not that high. But in the summertime, you can lay out black plastic, weight it down around the edges so that it seals really well, and just let that soil temperature get much, much higher than it normally does, and that will kill the nematodes off as well.
Okay. The beneficial nematodes, is there just like a kind that you can get from, say, a nursery, or one kind, or you got to match it up with ones that are already there?
No, I think there's three different types of beneficial nematodes that we carry, and they control different things. The one that you want is the one that controls root knot nematode, and it basically you're basically buying a sponge, and you put the sponge in water and squeeze it, and that's what the sponge is what carries the nematodes. So you put it into a watering can, you squeeze it several times and try to flush the nematodes out, and then you take the watering can and just water it over the area, and that's how you distribute them.
All right. Very good. I'll pass that info along to them, and I appreciate very much the information. It's good listening to you guys, and you do good work, and very helpful.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you getting up early to listen to us.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Take care.
And just for those who don't know what nematodes are, what are they?
Tiny, tiny, microscopic little worms.
Is tiny, tiny, microscopic redundant?
No.
Okay.
It's like tiny, tiny dancer.
Gotcha. In my head. Or mind? Anyway, yes. Okay. And some are good and some are bad.
Some are good and some are bad, right.
Some will damage.
We sell them in a bag, it looks like an envelope, a little bit larger than a legal envelope.
I've tried on occasion just to dry the heck out of the soil. Well, not tried to. I've let the soil go extremely dry till everything's dead in it, and I think that includes the nematodes.
Yeah,
wasn't there a product by Monterey or Bonide that was used as well?
I heard it was not all that effective.
From early studies, and this was years ago when it first showed up, I was corresponding with somebody at the UC Extension, and he said it did not reduce nematode populations, but it did increase the productivity of the plants. It encouraged growth. It was a saponin-based thing, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it made the plants more vigorous, but it didn't seem to do as much for nematodes. That's what I heard.
I got them into a couple of raised beds that I had in my yard, and the only thing that was really affected by them seriously were the tomatoes. And the tomatoes they'd start out great, and then they would just—it's like they hit a wall, and then you pull them out, and the roots were like almost the size of a pencil, which is not what it's supposed to be. That's not how it's supposed to be. Yeah. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ AM and FM and KPRZ AM and FM. Another potato update. We've got sweet potatoes in stock in Poway.
I heard that.
Well, you told me so.
And I meant to go out and look at them.
And so did I. I didn't get out there.
And you know what Mama says? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. But I never got to check them out. I want to get one. I think I'm going to plant one.
We talked about them last week a little, right? We spoke. I've been growing them for a while, and it's very, very easy. So
sweet potato?
Yeah, very easy. And they're a pretty plant, too.
You know, I'm excited about the regular seed potatoes coming in because I want to plant some, but I have part of my harvest from last year or from this year just still sitting in a...
We have some that are starting to, that we didn't, when we harvest everything, you always miss one or two. And so we have some new ones coming up growing right now. The green's starting to pop out.
I think Ken has something he wants to do. Oh.
No, we need to, we need to take a break.
That's what I thought.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ AM and FM and KPRZ AM and FM. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ AM and FM and KPRZ AM and FM. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has got the weekend off and probably freezing in Denver. So
I think that's his better element, though.
Cold weather?
The cooler weather is more in sync with Mark.
It could very well be. It could very well be. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you, and we are going to go to La Mesa, and we're going to talk to Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about a nashi tree, you know, the Japanese pear.
Uh-huh.
And I had cut it back in May or June, and I was wondering if that would change the fruit or the pattern of production, I guess. It produced fruit like it typically does, but it was very few fruit. And then before that fruit matured, it flowered out again, and now I have a lot of fruit on the tree. Is that normal to when you prune, it kind of goofs up the cycle of the tree or something?
Possibly, but more likely the something else may have caused it to start blooming again out of season. What do you think that might, what would I accuse you of, George, if you were telling me that story?
Did you by chance drought stress this tree in any way? Because that's what David would accuse me of if I told him something was in bloom out of sync.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have asked the question that way.
I know you wouldn't.
I would have said he probably got it a little dry,
right,
and it thought about going prematurely dormant and then
gave it a lot of water, right,
and it came back. That's what sometimes happens to them and has them flowering out of sync.
That's a good possibility. I don't normally take care of the tree, but anyway, I have been watering it quite a bit lately. Also, it has a lot of termites. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That can be a problem, and unfortunately, there's not a real easy fix for termites once they get into the tree. I don't know if the borer spray would. You could try it.
It's gonna have to get to them.
But you got to get it into the tree to get to them. That's the problem. And I don't know. Other than the borer spray, I don't know that there's anything. I don't know that there's any pesticides that are labeled for termite control on fruit trees.
Right, and I don't know of any either. But are there any large dead branches on there? Where are the termites?
Yeah, well, there I can see them where I cut off part of the branches.
Branches that were obviously dead.
Yes. Uh huh.
So you might want to keep cutting back till you get to the live portion of the tree and remove all the dead wood.
And keep cutting back until you get to the point where there's no termite,
right,
termite bore holes in it.
Is it good to cap those with a tar or something like that?
No.
Probably not going to do much.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
Right. Okay. By the way, on the answer website, has the Anderson phone number on it, not the talk show number on it, for what it's worth.
on which website?
The Answer.
Answer. Okay.
Yeah, it has your the Walter Anderson phone number on it. So anyway. Oh,
okay, we'll take a look at that. Thank you.
So if you want to call in, that's not going to work for you.
Thank you very much.
Right. You know, I had a few fruit trees at home blooming. I wonder why. It's really weird.
We have a plum tree that's blooming, but it had adequate water. I think it was more of a, maybe it got cool one night enough for it to break chill. Who knows? Go out of dormancy.
Are you, you're still defending your position, are you not, Mr. Allman?
This tree was not drought stressed.
Okay. All right. I didn't say it was. I was just asking questions. You sound a little defensive.
Well, in my defense, we did have that happen to one of my mulberry trees, and okay. I did, in fact, drought stress it, and it did, in fact, give me a ton of fruit afterwards.
You know, one of the more drought-tolerant fruit trees is the fig group, and my fig season on my Panache or Tiger Fig ended prematurely because the tree was drought-stressed. It's dropping all of its leaves now, and it's done producing fruit. Because I didn't water it because it didn't need it because it's a fig tree.
It's a drought-tolerant tree, right?
Drought-tolerant tree.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I was going to say our figs are doing really well. We're still eating Missions and Violette.
You must have
Bordeaux.
Given it water.
We have given it water, yeah. Yes.
Ah, figs, the beat of the fruit tree.
What is wrong with figs?
I'm not a fan.
Even the sweeter variety?
Yeah.
When was the last time you tried one?
Oh, I don't know. The last time I didn't like it.
Have you had a Corky's Honey Delight?
Yeah, I have.
From the parking lot in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
You still don't like it?
Yeah.
Texture?
I think it's a texture thing. Yeah, you know, dried figs, I'm okay with that. Dried figs on a wedge salad with blue cheese dressing? Yeah, that works for me.
Well, but, now wait a minute.
But so you really—it's really the blue cheese dressing,
not
the
fig at all.
but just regular figs. Yeah, they don't do anything for me.
That is one of the things about the Panache fig. It will kind of dry on the tree. Some figs.
You mean if you drought stress it?
Well,
no. If you just ignore them,
like Black Mission, seems to come and go. If you don't get to them while they're ripe, they just rot. And melt on the
they
tree.
Do, and then the green fig beetles come and take away the rest of it.
The tiger fig, I guess it's got a stronger skin, and it will kind of begin to shrivel and dry on the tree, and it makes them intensely flavor. They're even better.
Yeah.
They're fantastic that way. They're not totally dry. They're not totally fresh. I guess they are totally fresh, but they have kind of a hybrid taste to them, but not genetically modified.
Overly ripe.
They're awesome.
No, I get it. I mean, it's just, I got nothing against them. It's just not.
When you start out and say it is the beat of the tree, of the fruit tree world, you have something against them.
Well, yeah, because we've all heard you talk about beets, Ken.
Yes, we, yeah.
They taste like dirt even when they've been rinsed.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I will stick with
that.
That
said,
argument.
I will be planting. Well, I will be getting beets this weekend, or seeds, and getting them in the. We'll get them in the ground this weekend.
I planted beet seeds on Monday.
We hope to do it this weekend
in my smart pots.
Well, this is the time of the year that you want to start putting your root crops in: beets, carrots, radishes,
potatoes, sweet potatoes.
So, oh, that's right. We have sweet potatoes. We have the sweet potatoes in stock. We also have potato seeds in stock in Poway. At least we did. I don't know.
We still
have some.
But, I mean, who's going to plant potato seeds when they could have seed potatoes?
Any week now.
Promise. Soon.
And, you know, talking about fruit trees, soon keep an eye on the website because our soon-to-be-published fruit tree list for 2021 is going to be coming up shortly. And there's going to be a lot to choose from this year. We have 21 different apples, 9 different cherries. And that the interesting thing about cherries is 20 years ago, we had 0 cherries that we were selling.
And because?
Because they all were very high chill, and they would not grow in the greater San Diego area. And now we have cherries that will grow and produce up to the coast.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. I have 3 of them, and I like them.
Yeah. About 22 different peaches are going to be coming in. About 22 different varieties of grapes, 11 different blueberries. And the blueberries is another one of those ones that 20 years ago, we didn't sell any blueberries.
Because they didn't grow here.
Because they didn't grow here.
Now we have varieties to do. I want you, as a little homework assignment for today, to tell me how many of the trees you're looking at, you don't have to do it right this second, say potted next to them, because the potted ones,
there are a few, there's quite a few, a lot of the pomegranates, pretty much all of the figs, I think, yeah, all the figs, one of the mulberries.
So that we call them bear root, but they're not true bear roots. They're in these little sleeves.
And
but
olives.
They come from the bear root growers.
Right.
So we call them
in bear root season.
Bear root potted.
Right.
Oh, and actually, you know, all the grapes, all the blueberries, and all of the regular berries like blackberries, raspberries.
And the reason I asked you to pull those out is because those we're expecting before Thanksgiving. So we're expecting those in less than a month. We're expecting them sometime next month.
Yeah.
Which is
soon.
I know. We're only a week away from next month, aren't we?
We are.
So those trees will be in time to get into the ground for the fall planting season. The fruit trees we're expecting either the week before Christmas and New Year's or the first week of the new year. Last year, because of Christmas was right midweek, they didn't ship between Christmas and New Year's. Hopefully this year we will.
You know, spring is typically most people's favorite time gardening, but bear root season, January, when those trees come in, it's an exciting time in the garden and at the nursery.
Somebody in the paperwork transfer this week got an envelope, came up and pulled it out, and it was the front page of the San Diego Union from, I think it was January 16th, 1955, and they were talking about bear root season, and right on the cover, or right on the front page of that section, was a picture of my grandfather holding, they said it was holding a rose, but I think it was actually a bear root fruit tree, looking at the root structure and the way that it was. But it was interesting because there were a number of places that were advertising their bear root trees for their bear root fruit trees and their bear root roses for sale. And I think bear root fruit trees ranged in price between 79 and 99 cents. And
wow.
And bear root roses were about 79 cents each also, which just seemed, I just can't even imagine.
All the work that goes into that.
But what was really interesting was I went and took the cost of those plants at that time and plugged it into an inflation calculator, and the retail comes out for a 79 cent rose, I think, came out to $9.61 today. So something is askew there.
Well, I want everyone who thinks I don't think before I speak, know that I was about to break into "Those Were the Days, My Friend" and sing a little song, and I'm not.
Well, good.
Well, we're grateful.
Yeah, yes. We're very, very grateful for that. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ AM and FM and KPRZ AM and FM. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ 1170 KPRZ.
That was a nice sound, wasn't it?
It's a Halloween sound.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the sound. Last night I was locking up chickens, and I heard a sound that kind of sounded like that, and I didn't know how to describe it. So I
scared the hell out of me.
I shined my flashlight up in the tree, and there were these two tiny little sets of eyes glowing back at me from about 20 feet up a pine tree in my front yard.
Raccoons?
I thought it was owls. I thought they were little owls.
Oh.
I was so excited to go look at the owls, and when I got there, the owls had long tails. They were possums, the little baby possums. Mm. Or medium-sized possums. just sitting up there looking at me. It was very exciting. But that was the sound that I heard that made me look up. And that's, I guess, why I thought it was
even made sound.
Well, I don't know that they do. I don't know if they found something and were, I don't know. It just caught, I don't think that sound came from them, but that's the sound that made me go searching.
Made you go, that would have made me go in the house.
Well, see, you're a city boy.
Yeah.
I'm a farm boy.
That's true. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We were talking about fruit trees and the stuff that's coming in, and the stuff that we're expecting for the 2021 season. And I have no doubt that it's going to be a busy season, given the way
2020 has been.
Given the way 2020 has been, and that the pandemic hit after the main part of the fruit tree season ended, I have no doubt that it's going to be another busy, busy season. So if you're, my advice would be to plan ahead, to try to get an idea of what you want to put in, and then come in early and buy it so you can get it. Because once the bare root fruit trees are gone, they're gone. We basically only get one order of them. So we,
it trickles.
It's a short season.
And they are sold out of a lot of their varieties already.
Yeah.
So we have them booked.
And we have a lot of customers that live for bare root season. So we get a lot of like-minded people when you're standing out there talking about the bare root fruit trees, and they look forward to coming and shopping that list as soon as it's available and getting their names on a list to pick up some trees.
And you know what amazes me? We've been doing this for 91 years, and it's still roses and bare root roses and bare root fruit trees are still incredibly popular. So some of the highlights to look for this season in apples, we didn't have King David last year, correct?
They had a problem with the crop.
That's
correct.
Right. But we are expecting King David's this year, along with Lady Williams, which is a newer one that I'm not overly familiar with.
I think they're new old varieties.
It is a new old variety. Yeah.
Both King David and Lady Williams are old varieties that they have brought back into production.
King David specifically, it was an heirloom. It's an old apple.
Well, how many?
We have one, and it was productive, and there were, I don't know, 8 or 10 pieces of fruit on it that were coming to fruition, and something got them.
Squirrel.
I don't know what got them, but there were none left.
Squirrel took apple.
I'm trying to remember what, I think it was last year where I'd read that article that at one point in time, the history of apples, there's like 14,000 different varieties of apples.
Just see another story about a farm where they discovered, I think in the Pacific Northwest.
I think I posted that on one of our Facebook pages a while back. Yeah.
So what was it?
I don't remember it. I just remember
they
posted
discovered a bunch of old varieties of apples that had been on a
they've been neglected. Yeah, they've
yeah.
been neglected, and they're trying to bring them back and get them produced again. Available.
That would be an interesting project to do across the country. Go to some of the old farmsteads and.
Yeah. I grew up back east with an orchard there. That had about 1,000 trees and had 12 or 13 different varieties of apples, and that's nothing. 12, 13 varieties.
Yeah.
It's nothing, but. That's what they produced.
Interesting. Oh, speaking of the Pacific Northwest, did you see that they found
the murder hornet nest?
They found a murder hornet nest.
I did see that.
Did you see how they found it?
No.
They trapped a murder hornet and put a radio transmitter on it.
So either murder hornets are that big or the radio transmitters are that small.
The radio transmitters that small. Well, I mean, the hornets can get up to 2 inches. So, I mean, it's a big bug. But they put a tiny radio transmitter on it, and that's how they traced it.
That's pretty nifty.
The nest is in a hollowed out tree on, I think it's an apple farm somewhere.
Yeah, and it's 8 feet up in the air, and they're going to have to build scaffolding to get to it. But I think they were going to do that this morning.
They were going to eradicate the nest today.
Yeah, I think they're meeting at 7 a.m. or something. It's coming up. It's in the future.
Wow. So, but they said overall, though, they've only trapped
or 4 a.m.
They've only trapped 20 hornets in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I saw some video with some tweezers and like it looked like dental floss or something. And I don't know if they just glued it on its back or they were tying
They tied it on with with dental floss. Yeah,
I'm picturing this wasp with like a World War II radioman's antenna on the back and flying.
When my kids were home and younger, they tied dental floss around one of those green fruit beetles and took it for a walk once.
I've seen people would make little paper airplanes and then stick flies on the wings for propulsion. Because we got nothing better to do. Anyway, back to the fruit trees. Another interesting variety, another one that I'm not familiar with, but you said it was actually Nan Sturman's favorite.
I don't know if it's her current favorite, but it used to be her favorite.
At one time, Sundowner.
Sundowner, when it came out.
Yeah.
That is a cousin of the Pink Lady, and both are suitable for here. My Pink Lady is producing well right now. They're not ripe yet, but I was noticing this morning with my flashlight that there's a good crop coming on it.
It's a low chill, 200-300 hours. Works well here. My neighbor had one.
I planted it in between and too close to two citrus trees, so I don't see all of it all the time. I have to look for it because it's kind of buried in the background.
Some of the cherries that are coming in, one of the more popular ones, or a couple of the more popular ones, are Mini Royal and Royal Lee. And
their new baby brother.
Well, they're popular because
Royal Crimson?
Right. Yep. But the Mini Royal and Royal Lee are popular because you have to have them together to pollinate.
Yeah, and planting two in the same hole to save space is not a...
It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon. It's not a problem.
And
it's,
we often sell them... After bare root season in a single pot. Right?
So when those two came out, they needed each other. You had to have one of each. They pollinated each other, and that's all you... If you wanted cherries, they were the best mild climate one for here. But now, go ahead.
I was going to say, that was my lead in for you, but...
Thank you, sir. Yeah. But now we have the Royal Crimson, which is a pollinizer for each of them and is self-fruitful.
Right, so if you have room for only one tree, that's a good low chill.
Royal Crimson. And then we've also had customers who have bought the Mini Royal Royal Lee pair and lost the tags and lost one of the two trees. And so they don't know which one they need to get to make it fruitful again. They can just get a Royal Crimson, and regardless of which one it is, it'll pollinate.
That'll take care of it. Another really good one, jujubes.
How do you feel about jujubes, Ken? I'm not a fan of those either. Do they taste like dirt? What is it?
No, they don't taste like dirt. They just taste, it's like, I don't know.
It's like a dried fig, kind of.
It's like a date.
Yeah.
It's more like a date.
Yeah, it is. Which, funny enough, I don't seem to mind dates. But, jujubes, I'm not a fan. It's a pretty tree, though.
I had some last week off of the... rootstock that had sprouted up. They sucker pretty freely. It's a very small fruit, but they were there and they were ripe and I was wandering. So I had some.
Now I don't have one, but I understand it to be somewhat drought.
Very.
Yeah. You can just.
Very.
Yeah. More so than a fig tree?
More so than a fig tree, yes. Okay. And more so than a pomegranate.
Right.
Or in the same category.
We've got quite a few plum trees coming in too.
I'm a little short on plums in my yard. I got three at the end of last season. And this season, we usually have a fruit tree sale this time of the year with the leftover fruit trees. But
yeah, we don't because have
any. they sold out very quickly.
I think probably plums are just, they're so sweet. I mean, the sugar content on them is just amazingly high. But I think probably my favorite was Green Gage growing up.
Me too.
My grandparents had one in their yard that produced just an insane amount of fruit. I mean, absolutely incredible amount of fruit. Much more than the family could actually eat.
Didn't your grandma used to freeze them or something?
Oh, she froze everything. she had a giant freezer down in the laundry room. But they have a really tart skin on them. But when they're ripe, God, it's almost like eating a small balloon full of sugar water.
And you like that, right?
Well, and that's probably okay. There's probably the reason he doesn't like beets or figs.
Well,
or
figs have that.
Not like
a plum, and the red plums too. They can. Satsuma was always the really popular one when I was growing up.
That needs a pollinator.
But it needs a pollinator. Yeah, you need a Santa Rosa right? to go with it. But big red plum. I remember when I was much younger and living on Galveston Street, our neighbor had they had one of the French plums,
the prune,
like a prune, and those were incredibly sweet too. I remember we used to eat those when they would come in to see.
Do you recall the tree doing well? Because get one that
it didn't.
They require more chill.
It wasn't a real vigorous tree. It was a relatively small for a plum tree. It was relatively small. But I gotta remember those plums were almost black with that kind of whitish.
They have the
whatever it is that's on the outside.
Film. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I distinctly remember them.
We had a tree growing up at my folks' house, but it never did well.
And I've a prune tree as well.
Yeah, because they need more winter chill than we typically get. So they'll grow for a little while, but they just don't have the vigor,
right? Decline rapidly or slowly, rather.
Yeah, especially with my cultural practice.
With your Karen culture.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ 1170 and KPRZ AM and FM. Another group of fruit trees which has become really popular over the past few years are persimmons. We sell out of persimmons very quickly.
Is this another one that we have a difference of opinion on?
No, I like persimmons.
Do you like all of them or just the fuyus? The ones that you take right off the tree and eat fresh.
Uh-oh. He's thinking.
I'm okay with them.
Okay.
Yeah. And some of them can be a little bit astringent.
The others require some work. Yeah. So that's what's nice about the fuyus.
They make nice golf clubs, too.
They make nice golf clubs?
Yeah. The
trees?
Old wooden drivers were made out of a persimmon wood.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Back in the day. And we've got 1, 2, 3.
We've got
about 6 different varieties of
persimmons
coming in this year.
My first Fuyu persimmon that was ripening, I saw half of it a few days ago when I was in the garden, and the rest of it's gone now. I'm assuming it was a squirrel.
Ours were coyotes.
It could have been.
Yeah, I saw it. I remember you brought it in the videotape.
We lost a bunch of Fuyus. Put the camera up and the coyotes came right back and they were sniffing all around the tree looking for any extras, but they got them the night before.
I can't remember if it was my grandparents that had a persimmon tree. I remember somebody had a giant Fuyu persimmon and it was huge. It was like 6 inches across, kind of flat.
That's a big persimmon.
It was a huge persimmon. The fruit is what I'm talking about there. What else was I thinking about? Oh, well, we're talking about composting, which you had done a Wednesday Wisdom last week.
Last week, Wednesday Wisdom, right.
But one of the things that we've seen a number of people bringing in this season, probably a little more so than I have seen in a while, are grubs. And there's good grubs and there's bad grubs. Well, actually,
are you a good grub or a bad grub?
Well, by good grubs, I mean there are grubs that will help in breaking down
organic material.
Organic material, like in your compost pile and things like that. But then they produce a bad bug.
Right. So, like the green fig beetle that we talk about, the soft fruit beetle that flies around like he's drunk.
Yeah. But the
those grubs are.
How do you know what a drunk beetle flies around?
Because that's
like
what they look like.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But the grub is huge.
They're huge. They're like the size of your finger, and they crawl on their back. Yeah.
Our compost bin has lots of large, and they're good. They help break down that organic material.
Yeah, they break down the organic material, and
but you'll find them also
going.
Yeah, you'll find them in a good garden bed as well, not necessarily just compost. So if you've got a lot of organic material in your garden and you're turning the soil, getting ready to plant, you may find some of those.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of people in that are worried about that.
Yeah.
Should they be?
No, not those. In fact,
you're shaking your head. I don't think that went out over there.
I was waiting for you to say he's shaking his head.
No, he's shaking his head no.
So the University of California Integrated Pest Management specifically points out that they are actually good in the garden because they help decompose material. However, the beetle themselves are bad because they do eat your fruit.
Although we do have the traps available now for the beetles, which are extremely effective.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But I haven't, I think...
We didn't have, the beetles
beetle problem seemed to be...
Was not a big issue this year.
Less of an issue.
Much less of an issue than it has been in the past. I remember the first time I ever saw the peach beetle grubs, somebody brought them into the nursery. This was years and years ago, 25, 30 years ago. And they were in a little box, and they were crawling around on their back and just looking disgusting.
Did you try one?
No, I didn't.
Put another grub on the Barbie?
It probably tastes like dirt.
And some, I wouldn't be surprised. And
put another grub on the Barbie.
And good. The person that brought them in was asking what they can do to control them. And I remember my dad came walking by and he looked in the, and he said, well, what should I do? And my dad looked in the box and he just looked at him and goes, move. But yeah,
people are worried about them because they're
disconcerting.
Right.
The story is they're eating all the roots of your plants and killing them.
But they're not. But now the smaller grubs, the ones that you find in your lawn, probably like the ones that the raccoons or skunks dug up in my lawn last week or two and left holes all over the place. Looked like a bad foursome of golfers had come through my backyard. those can be destructive. But those are much smaller. They're maybe about the diameter of a pencil, maybe about a quarter of an inch in diameter and maybe an inch long.
Chickens
like
still
that.
Love them.
They do.
Regardless.
You know, something I don't hear much about, is cutworms. When was the last time you had somebody come in with a cutworm problem?
Well, I did have somebody come in not too long ago.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
Way to ruin his story.
Well,
George.
No, I'm just saying. He said when. So I have had someone about within the last 2 weeks. A gentleman came in and was talking about it. He had a cutworm getting on some of his plants.
I'm guessing the Sluggo Plus would take care of that.
That's exactly what we went with, right?
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go up to Oceanside where Larry is waiting. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Hey, good. Glad you guys are back on the air and stuff. A little dark outside, but it's good. I got two questions. In the store, I haven't been there in a while for this pandemic. Is the Poway store still open, or do you need limited people go in?
Well, we try to limit the number of people that are actually in the building, but the store is open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Just have to wear a mask when you come in, and we ask that you keep your distance from the other shoppers and other employees. But we're there to help if you would prefer. You can give us a call, and we can take an order over the phone and get it ready and pulled for you, and we can give you a call when it's ready, and you can come in, pull into the parking lot, give us a call. We'll bring it out to your car. We can accommodate either way.
Yeah, great, because I know some of the stuff like the insecticides and some of the stuff. You guys have it, and nobody else does. So I need to get out there. That
well, we try.
And my question is, I did something. I thought these two avocado trees were, you know, going to die and not going to make it. I planted them too close to each other. Mm-hmm. I want to transplant them, but do you think it's better to transplant it and put them in a container, or to just try to stick them in the ground? And what's the likelihood they're going to live?
How long have they been in the ground?
About a year.
I would guess that you want to take as much root ball with you as you can. And we're heading into a decent period to do it with the cooler weather. There'll be less stress on it, on the remaining root system. But it all depends on how much root system you take along. You don't take along enough, it's going to die. And it can either go back into the ground, or it can go into a good potting soil. Probably be better for it to go into a good loose potting soil to get it reestablished before putting it back in the ground.
Yeah, I didn't think these were going to make it in the first time, and then surprise to me, they took off, and now I got to move them.
And now, as well, if they're in containers, you can move them to less sun or filtered sun until they start to come out of it, until you see growth and know that the roots have taken and are starting to regrow. Then you can move it out in the spring or sometime next year and put them out in the ground.
That's what I was thinking, because I noticed avocados, they lose when you plant them or you transplant, put them in the ground. It seems like the first year they lose all their leaves and you get all new growth, and then they take off.
Well, that is what they do, and especially younger ones, they will drop all their leaves their first year, but the trees cycle them every year anyway.
Larry, we've got to go, but thank you very much for calling. Hope you call in again. You've been listening to Garden Talk.
I'll be here every weekend.
Thank you, Larry. You've been listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more next week right here.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.